The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Don't you just love snow globes? I mean, I think they're awesome. I mean, you have this beautiful winter scene. And then what you do with it, you shake it as hard as you can. I can just imagine, you know, kids, especially, I've seen Abigail and Caleb, they grab it like this, and they just shake it as hard as they can. And then you stop, and the snow begins to drift around inside. And it's just calming. It's peaceful. And you would think that shaking it so hard would actually create chaos. But it doesn't. It creates peace. And it doesn't create chaos because hopefully the little things inside are glued down strong enough so that when you shake it, you don't shake it loose. I mean, just think about that. Just think if one of, like on this globe here, I mean, if one of the houses was loose and you shook it, the house would be floating all over the place. It would be chaos. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like my life is chaos. This world is in chaos. I mean, from the day that Adam and Eve reached for the fruit and took it and ate it, our world has become more and more chaotic. It just has. And peace seems to be so distant from us at times. Not just in the world, but in our own lives. I mean, the last 3 weeks of our lives have been crazy, with Best Mom dying and the viewing and the funeral and everything having to, we had to go through. And for Pete, I'm sure his life is in chaos. He's lost his love. There doesn't seem to be peace. It's like our life seems like there's a little bit of that scene that's come loose. And every time it gets shaken, it gets a little more loose to the point where now all of it is just floating around in there. And it never settles back to where it was. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. I remember when I was a kid and I loved Christmas. I mean, think about it. Think about back when you were a kid and the anticipation of Christmas coming. I mean, you had Thanksgiving and you would eat and it was awesome. But then you knew that right around the corner Christmas was coming. And then all of a sudden now mom and dad are getting the Christmas tree out. And they're getting the decorations out. And they're trying to figure out why all the lights don't light up. You know? And trying to get everything done and the hustle and bustle. But as a kid, we don't see the chaos of Christmas. We see the joy, the anticipation, the excitement as presents start to appear under the tree. You know? The anticipation was there. And it was intoxicating. It was like that scene that was shooken up, and yet, you know, everything is good. Everything is fine with the globe, and the snow is floating around, and you get that wonderful feeling. That's what Christmas was like as a kid. As we grow older, the joy and the anticipation doesn't quite seem as intoxicating as it was. Now, we have the joy of having the kids, and believe me, we live vicariously through our kids. There are toys I look at and think, oh, yeah, I need to get that for Caleb because I want to play with it. I mean, we kind of enjoy that with our children, but it's not the same as when we were kids. It's like the scene from A Christmas Story, you know, when they come downstairs and, oh, the tree is all beautiful, and it's almost like misty, you know. It's not quite in focus because it's awesome because it's Christmas and we're kids. It doesn't have the same effect. And I don't think I could find a rabbit outfit big enough to fit me. But if you know the Christmas story, you'll understand that. It's not the same as when we were younger. See, the trials and the tribulations of our lives, it dampens our Christmas joy. Our losses, our failures, our shattered hopes and dreams, they begin to weigh heavy on us as adults. Can we protect our kids from that? We always protect our kids from that. For as adults, it weighs heavy on us. And I can imagine on that night, that's kind of what the shepherds felt like. I want to look at it in the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 20. And then we'll talk about it a little bit, some thoughts I have on this. Luke 2, starting with verse 8. And you guys know this story. If you've watched Peanuts, you know the story, because this is what he quotes, what Linus quotes as he's sitting on, standing on the stage. Not quite, but it's pretty close. It says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Father, we praise you. We praise you for this great narrative of the night you were born as a man, as a child, as a baby who came to save the world. Amen. There's a few strange things about this narrative. First of all, of all the characters in it, I think the angels are the only ones who truly fit. And I'll explain why. They're the only ones that make sense. I mean, it's not poor, broke Mary and Joseph. I mean, Mary and Joseph aren't even in their own hometown. They're not with family. You know, they are alone in a stable full of animals. This is not exactly the scene we are thinking of when we're thinking of the Savior coming. I mean, we're talking about the Son of God coming to defeat darkness and to bring hope to the world. This is not where we would think that the Son of God would be born. And it's definitely not the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds would be the last people you would think would be at this birth of the Son of God. I mean, at that time, shepherds were nomads. They traveled from place to place. They just happened to be in that area at that time. Many of them were just hired hands. They didn't even own the sheep. They were hired hands. They worked for other people who did own the sheep. And they were just caring for them. They had a reputation. It wasn't a good one. Shepherds were considered thieves, and they were not trusted. I mean, these were the type of people that, if you were at the mall, the security guard would be following them around. Because he knew, the security guard would know that this guy's trouble. That's who the shepherds were. They were not respected and, in fact, were despised by many people. I mean, spend your time with sheep. The very smell you give off is going to be offensive to some people. I mean, it's just who they were. But the angels make sense. During the first century, it was very common when you had your firstborn child, what you would do is, if you had any kind of money, you would hire someone to go out and to declare, so-and-so has a new son. This was before Facebook. Okay? That's just what you did. That's what you did. And if you had a lot of money, you hired a lot of people to do it. If you had a little money, you didn't hire very many people, or you didn't hire anybody. In fact, Mary and Joseph didn't hire anybody. God, the true father of Jesus, was the one who sent what are called heralds. When we sing, "Hark the herald angels sing," that's what it means. The angels came to pronounce the fact that the Son of God, the firstborn Son of God, was being born. Sorry, ladies. They didn't do it for the women, because it was the son who was going to carry on the lineage of the family. So that was the great celebration, your firstborn son. So God sends an angel, and then he sends a multitude of angels. I mean, that's what you expect from God, right? God does not do anything small. Well, he does a lot of things small, but when he pronounces, comes down here and shows himself, what does he do? I mean, he's in the burning bush. He parts the Red Sea. He sends fire down and consumes the altar and everything in it. I mean, God is a great marketing guy. He really knows how to make an entrance. So this is what you expect from God. You expect him to send the angels to pronounce this, his son is here. But let's pretend you're a shepherd. Not exactly probably the profession you would have chosen, but you're a shepherd and you feel rejected. The only ones who understand you are the sheep and the other shepherds. And the other shepherds probably don't trust you either. So you're sitting there with your sheep in the middle of the night, and God shows up. Not does he just show up. He shows up with a bam. All of a sudden there is this angel standing there, and he is bright. He is full of the glory of God. He is shining. It's dark. There's no lights. We don't understand that today, how dark it was. If there was a moon out, we don't know. But chances are there was no moon at that night. And this bright light. So what do you think they did? The first thing they probably did was they hid behind a rock. I imagine they were just scared or fell down on the ground. Just they were so afraid. They were scared. And if that wasn't enough, if the one angel showing up wasn't enough, as soon as he's done talking to you, all of a sudden it's filled with a multitude of the heavenly host. We don't know how many that is. But we know it was a lot. And they're telling you, and they're saying, they're not singing, by the way, they're saying, they're telling you about the good news. Jesus is being born. They're singing, saying praises to God. And the first angel has told them that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I mean, you would be literally in shock at what you were seeing. Angels didn't come to talk to shepherds, even though David was a shepherd. But things have changed. It's not the same as it used to be. These things just didn't happen every day. And then the angels leave, and they stand there looking up. I mean, the most obvious thing is, you've been told what's going on, you better go find it, and you better go figure it out. I mean, I could just imagine them standing there saying, maybe we should go. You know? I mean, and that has to be what they said. Maybe, I think, we need to go. I think we should go do what this guy told us to do. Go find this baby. I got a question for Aaron and Kelly, since you guys are here. When Hayden was born, who saw her first besides the technicians and the doctors? Who saw her first? Okay, so they both got to see. Then after that, who saw her? Her mom. I mean, wouldn't that be, well, doesn't that make sense? I was driving by the hot, actually driving on 69 when it happened. Aaron had told me, we're going in. I didn't stop because I knew that her parents, their parents were there. And they needed to be the ones that experience that birth as a family. I mean, it would have been ideal if Joseph and Mary had their family with them. That Mary's mother would have seen the baby first. But no. What does God do? He sends shepherds. The first people to see Jesus, besides Mary and Joseph, were outcasts, thieves. Doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, you can almost understand how a lot of the Jews missed it. You know, they were sleeping. Most of the town, it was busy. The town was full, but they were sleeping and they missed it. So what does God do? God goes to the shepherds and he sends the shepherds to see his son. They're the first ones to see the baby. I mean, shouldn't the King of Kings and Lord of Lords be born in the palace in Jerusalem to a king? It would make sense. Not in this dirty stable surrounded by a bunch of dirty animals and dirty shepherds. That just wouldn't do, right? But that's how God operates. God brings himself glory by calling those who are the lowest. And he brings himself glory through that. When God calls us, when he rescues, when he redeems, when he calls himself, he calls among the weak and the broken. Understand, you can't follow God unless you're broken, unless you're weak. Because if you're strong and you're not broken, you don't need him, right? I can do this myself. I don't need God. You hear people say that who don't believe. I don't need God because they're not broken. God calls the broken because it brings him glory. God many times calls himself those who are undesirable and least likely to succeed. Hate to say it, folks, but we're part of the least likely to succeed. Boy, what a motivational speech that is. But it's true. Now, granted, a lot of us are successful. That's okay. But God calls those to him that are broken. These are the least likely people that you would expect to be at the manger. And you'd ever really expect God to go to. But in reality, if you know anything about God and you read the scriptures, you see this is how he operates. This is what he does later. Jesus does later. He tells them, you know, he's at a party. And he's at a party with a bunch of drinkers and prostitutes and tax collectors. And the Pharisees come and say, what are you doing with these people? I mean, aren't you a prophet? You say you're the Messiah. Well, you know, he never did, but they didn't know that at that point. But, you know, he's going to be the Messiah. You're not supposed to be with these kind of people. And Jesus says to them, we see it in Luke, later on in Luke 5:31. He answers and says, those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, they do. We don't just, believe me, I don't like going to the doctor. I don't like going to the doctor when I'm sick, let alone when I'm well and he's going to poke and prod me. I do it because I need to, and I'm at that age where I'm going to have to. We don't go to the doctor usually when we're well, unless it's a checkup. You know, I don't wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I want to go see my doc." You know, it's not the well who need a doctor; it's the sick. It's the sick, and God does this because God has an eternal perspective. He sees things. He sees the big picture. You and I, we think in the present. We think in our own lives. We don't think big. We don't think eternally. I mean, when we're being tempted or when we're in trials, what do? We want, okay, God, get me out of this now. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want it done now. Or there's something that we need. I want it now. We're like little kids. Daddy, can we have this now? No, wait. 5 minutes later, Daddy, can we have this now? No. Are we there yet? I had Abigail ask me that this week. We're driving around 469 to to go to the funeral home. And she's like, are we there yet? I'm like, are we stopped? Have we gotten out of the car? No, we're not there yet. We're impatient. We live in the here and now, in the midst of our troubles and our sorrows and our tribulations. We just want to be rescued out of our immediate position, and we want it to be all better. We want it to be like it is, like it was. We want to go back to the Christmas where we were kids and things were perfect. When in reality, ask your parents, it wasn't perfect. But we see that. We have a short-term perspective. I mean, we're good people, right? We don't deserve this. Well, the problem is we do deserve this. And Romans tells us why. It says, as it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Just like the shepherds, we are liars and we are thieves. We lust after things. We have malice in our hearts. We're not wicked. I mean, we talked about that. We're not this evil, wicked people. But we have this nature inside of us that we struggle with, and we will always struggle with. We have to overcome it. We have to put it to death. I mean, we love, don't we? We love each other. We love. We pursue things. We cherish things. Unfortunately, sometimes we do those things more than we do God. We have anger. We have rage in our hearts. When it comes to righteousness, we fail. This is why we need the good news that the angel brought. The angel is bringing good news that they brought to the shepherd, and that we need it as much as those shepherds needed it. They needed to see the baby. We need to see the baby to have hope. We can't do it on our own. We need to take... We need to take the time to see the baby. So the shepherds go and they worship the baby. They say things to Mary that she cherishes in her heart. And they tell people about things. And they become heralds. Not herald, not the name. They become heralds. They start talking about it. And they didn't just go back and they didn't go back and try to straighten out their lives. They didn't go back and try to change their reputation. Well, let's, we've seen the baby now. I know what we need to do. We need to go back and start a program where we can make people think we're better than they think we are, right? If we just stop stealing, everything will be great. Well, that'll get us on the right path. And if we start doing good things, we'll be great. And then we will start telling people about what we saw, right? They don't do that. They immediately go back and they start talking about what they have seen. They start becoming heralds, proclaiming what they have seen. Because see, the reason that baby came was to pay the price so that we don't have to straighten our lives out. That doesn't mean we continue stealing, doing things we're not supposed to. It means it's because of what Christ has done. Now we have the ability to rest in Him, and He helps us not do them. We become able to live holy and righteous lives because of that baby. And then we begin to fill the role of the shepherds who were sinners saved by grace. And we become the heralds in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, in our families. We are the heralds today. Just as the angels were to the shepherds and the shepherds were to everybody else. We fill those roles. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, I just don't know enough about Jesus in order to do that. You want to know something? The shepherds knew zero theology. They knew nothing about apologetics. They did not understand the Trinity. They couldn't tell you about heaven and hell. All they knew was Jesus, the baby, born in a manger. That's all they knew. That's all you need to know. All you need to do is when you need to tell someone about Jesus, when you feel that that's time, all you got to do is tell them about what you've seen and what you know. That's it. And then when you got to have the courage to say, when they ask you something, I don't know the answer, but you know what? Let's find it out together. That's all you got to do. That's all the shepherds did. They became the heralds. You and I need to take an eternal perspective. This is why James tells us, and we've been studying James, in James 1, 2 through 3, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Count it all joy. The shepherds, they could have said, "Who are we? I mean, who are we that we should, you know, nobody trusts us, nobody likes us. Why should we go and talk about this child? Why should we even go and see this child? We don't deserve this. It won't do us any good. It's not going to change our lives. People still are not going to like us. We are still going to be a bunch of thieves." I mean, that's what they could have said. It's not going to make us any different. But it did. It made them different. And in the midst of our trials, of their trials as shepherds, they found joy. They found it in the good news of the baby in the manger. The joy, the abounding joy. And we too, you and I, can also find that joy in the midst of our trials because of the good news of that baby in the manger. Good news of great joy, abounding joy. So when we are, man, when we've got the snow globe that is our life and it is being shook, and it's shaking hard, we are secure in that snow globe knowing the baby. And the snow blows around us. And it may look chaotic, but in reality there's peace. There's peace amidst our trials. And that is what we need to tell people. That is what we need to share with our friends, with our neighbors, with our family. That there is peace. There will never be complete peace on this earth because man can't get along. But there can be peace in our lives because of that baby. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning for the peace that came through the good news of the baby in the manger. Father, we just thank you so much that you came to give us that good news. Lord, we need to hear that every day. The good news of great joy that should be to all people. Lord, it wasn't just for the shepherds. It wasn't just for the Israelites. It was for all people whom God finds favor with, those who believe in him. It's the good news. Those who are being called by him, it's good news. Those that are seeking him, it's good news. Those who have found him, it's good news of great joy. Help us, Lord, to be able to have that great joy daily, not just, man, we focus on this at Christmas, Father. I know we do, but it's not enough. It needs to be every day. So that in the midst of our trials, in the midst of the chaos of our lives, in the midst of our kids not quite doing what we thought they were going to do, of our jobs being hectic, of trying just to drive home in the snow, we would have that abiding, abundant joy. Brought to us because of that baby in a manger. Brought to us because of Jesus. Help us to always have that and hang on to it so that we can have joys in our trials and we can be the heralds that we are to be. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.